All right, we're here with the three heads of state from some of our key products. Who are? Introduce yourselves. What do you run?
I'm Ted Cummard. I'm Corporate Vice President at Data and Storage Platform Division. Part of my division is the SQL Server.
I'm Soma. I'm the Senior Vice President for the Developer Division at Microsoft.
I'm Bill Lang. I'm the General Manager of the Windows Server Division. We're just about to launch Windows Server 2008.
Outstanding. So now this is a launch event that's happening, launching all three of your events, shipping at slightly different times. What's the meaning of a launch event?
People always ask this question, hey, why are you trying to launch multiple products at the same time? To me, the value that we provide by Windows Server 2008, working with SQL Server 2008 and Visual Studio 2008, the three products working together, we believe strongly in the sort of the next wave of innovation and benefits and the value proposition that we deliver to our customers. So given that these three products are shipping, approximately like within 9 month horizon, we thought as opposed to launching three different things, it makes sense to launch them all together in one shot so that we can go out with one set of messages about how these products can work together better in our customer environment. So that's the reason we are launching these products together.
Yeah, customers think about them together, and there's innovations that we're delivering that are really, compelling scenarios that cross the products. So that's a couple of other reasons for us to just focus on explaining it once. Even though, Visual Studio 2008 shipped at the end of the year, Windows Server 2008 just RTM'd, and SQL Server will RTM in the summer.
Well, and I think about us, we've got common customers, developers, and IT professionals. So we're really targeting the same audience with three products.
Let's talk a little bit about how your three products work together. So for example, when you're innovating in SQL world, you're going to expect certain things to exist over in Windows world as they're innovating because you're not running in a vacuum. How do you guys work together?
Part of it is we just get out of the way. Our teams know who they need to work with. Uh-huh. We're there to help and back them up. But part of it is just letting what happens happens. People understand that there's good things for customers in the things that we can do across the division. Between .NET and Visual Studio and SQL Server, we've got some great innovations in terms of how developers deal with data. Mm-hmm. Language integrated query, which I know there's been a lot of Channel 9 video time on, as well as the entity framework and the entity data model. Powerful innovations in how you deal with data, which is a full story that plays out across both releases together.
One of the focuses of my team is around the hardware platform. So we spend a lot of time with both Intel, AMD, and other system vendors on what's happening in the hardware. And SQL are really the main team we bring in there because one of the goals of the OS is to keep out of the way of the database so they can exploit the hardware. So we have joint performance work. That's really a key area we work together. Set some scalability goals as the machines get bigger and faster.
So it's really interesting in basically getting at the synergy between vice presidents, between leaders of different divisions.
I would say there are two ways in which I think we fundamentally collaborate. One is each of us organizationally own some piece of functionality that we ship in each other products. For example, IS7, which is part of the Windows Server 2008 product, actually the development for that happens in my world. Likewise, the SQL team owns all the data functionality that ships in .NET framework. So we have, different teams contributing to all these products. So that's one way we sort of are tied at the hip. The other places where we sort of make a conscious decision that says, hey, we're going to take a dependency on this particular functionality that SQL Server provides or Windows Server provides, and we know that we are taking a bet on this innovation that is coming out, and we'll have to work closely. And the more we can let the teams, understand what those dependencies are and enable the teams to work together, I think, good things happen.
Absolutely. So what's your favorite new feature in Windows Server?
What's my favorite new feature? Actually, what I am most happy with is that we've structured the server fairly differently to a base server with different roles that run on it. So I think each of the roles has kind of excelled in the area. IIS7 is obviously excelling as the web server. But the really significant change from 2003 to 2008 is we have this base server and then you install roles on top of it. So, the idea was to give each workload or role owner the freedom to innovate kind of a little bit independently of the platform so that that's what I feel best about, that We have a single management console where you can install and remove these roles so that everything isn't quite as entangled as it was. And then we went even further with the server core idea where we took the GUI away completely, and that's pretty exciting. So with the PowerShell command facilities, we've got scripting, and that's a big change. So another way of thinking about it is Windows Server looks like a server. It doesn't look like a client OS with other features added to it. That's what I like most about it.
And are there any specific features in Windows Server 2008 that benefit SQL Server 2008 directly?
Oh, I think we've done work in the I/O system and networking stack, and worked together on very large memories, NUMA support. So that's the low levels areas that we worked closely.
Cool. Certainly virtualization and everything in Hyper-V. Our customers are just like, you know, databases just like all the other workloads where they're looking for more efficiency in the data center, consolidating workloads from the departments. Obviously, virtualization is a lead technology use there. That's certainly something that our customers are going to get a ton of benefit out of. And then we work very closely on, you know, scale, performance, all the abilities. Everything about Windows Server 2008 is more secure, accrues up. You know, that's a place also where we share a lot of the engineering practices where these products are actually built in a more secure way. But everything down there is something that accrues up to our customers in all of the abilities, including security.
Outstanding. And so, and many of your developers are using Somas tools to write this stuff, right?
Yeah.
From Team System to Visual Studio.
Both on the development tools and the project management tools. Key part of driving those products to scale, because something like Windows Server is one of the biggest software projects around. Thousands of people work on it.
Absolutely.
We are big believers in dog food, right? Yeah, and using our technologies to build our products before we deliver, kind of thing, right? You know, we talked about Team Foundation Server building on SQL Server. Mm-hmm. We've been running SQL Server 2008 and Team Foundation Server on top of that for the last, you know, 6 months now, as we were, you know, finishing up development of Visual Studio 2008 and as we move on to the next version of Visual Studio.
You mentioned engineering practices. DevDiv has sort of been leading the way in many ways in terms of with their sort of milestone quality and the way they're dealing with bug debt, as they call it. How do you guys share that information, share those learnings across? Is it at the VP level?
I think some happens at our level. But more often than otherwise, you know, it's the teams that sort of work with each other and the relationship that we've sort of enabled and nurtured over the years that works. For example, right, you know, we shipped both SQL Server and Visual Studio the last time around when we did the 2005 wave of releases at the same time, right? And so both of our divisions sort of, you know, took a step back and said, you know, hey, now that we are done with this, you know, massive release wave, let's sort of take a step back. Let's figure out how we retool ourselves for the next wave of products, right? And for literally 3-4 months, both the SQL Server team and the Visual Studio Developer Division team, set of teams, said, you know, hey, how do we, like, you know, learn from whatever we learned from the previous version, what tools we need to put in place, what engineering processes we need to change. And there was a lot of back and forth where we learned, you know, from each other a lot.
Mm-hmm. Outstanding. So I'm not going to let you guys get off the hook. What's your favorite SQL Server 2008?
Oh boy, I was struggling.
That's a hard one.
It's like picking your favorite kid.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. One of the things we've worked really hard on with SQL Server 2008 is the upgrade experience for customers. So I'll talk about a set of things which I think are, you know, I'll speak to the SQL Server 2005 customers about a set of things they're just going to be able to get the benefit of if they do the upgrade. You know, so there's a whole set of things, you know, transparent data encryption, the ability to basically take an existing application without doing anything at the data level. You know, you don't have to change the schema. You can enable encryption, which enables it also for backup. And for a customer to be able to do that with an existing app is pretty powerful. Data compression, right? Decreased storage requirements in existing application can also increase performance depending on the I/O profile of the particular app. That's another cool one. All actions audited, a thing toward compliance. You know, how do I know what's going on? That's another thing you can just enable. Policy-driven management model, another benefit customers can just get the benefit of. So we've worked really hard not only to make the upgrade experience better, but there's a set of things that we think, you know, you're out there with an existing app and you want it to get better. Now there's a whole set of features that are, you know, more new capability that they're going to be taking advantage of. Mm-hmm. So that was my way of taking a bunch of features I really like and lumping them into one.
Outstanding. If you know. Nicely done. And I know, how about you?
How do you know that I don't answer the question straight?
I know you don't answer this question, but I'm going to ask again.
Right. There are, you know, a ton of new features in Visual Studio and .NET Framework that I'm excited about. Mm-hmm. I can't go through all of them here, but I'll pick a couple, right? We've made it easy for developers to be able to use Visual Studio 2008 and target multiple versions of the runtime. You can now take the same toolset in Visual Studio 2008 and be able to write an application that targets either .NET Framework 2.0 or 3.0 or 3.5. That, I think, is a fantastic feature for our developer community. We've done a bunch of work in web tools to make it easy for people who are building web applications. We've added designers, graphical designers, for people who are building .NET FX 3.0 applications, either, you know, using Windows Workflow or Windows Presentation Foundation or any of the functionality that is coming in there. You know, Link, you know, Ted mentioned this earlier. We've talked a lot about Link. That's a, you know, fantastic feature that we like in Visual Studio and .NET Framework 3.5. So I, across the breadth of the product, I think, you know, we are really excited about all the new features coming in, and more importantly, how these features, right, work both within our products, but more importantly with the other products that we are, you know, launching together now.
You guys are also innovating in the parallel computing space. When developers on your teams come up with really interesting new innovations, how do you share innovations?
The way Link is playing out is something that is based on innovations and ideas that were in both teams. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the end-to-end Link story, in terms of all of the types of collections of data that Link's going to be able to operate over, and the end-to-end story that plays out, that's something that was done kind of across both teams. You know, the one place where I think our teams do want us to get involved is when we're either kind of on the same path and should make some different choices, or should just decide to let things run, because, you know, sometimes deciding not to couple together things that look alike is actually better for us in terms of getting features out. It's not always the right thing for us to necessarily unify, because it, you know, makes us feel better or looks good on a PowerPoint slide. You know, sometimes we deciding, hey, this is okay, this is going to be good for customers this way, we're going to get things done quicker, is another smart thing we do, hopefully.
So Windows Server, you guys have really innovated at an OS level, and that's going to creep back into the client, which it normally does, right? I mean, the server kernel basically is in SP1.
Right.
Yes?
Yeah. For Vista. For Vista SP1 and Server 2008, we basically moved we're now on a common code base. So any enhancements or fixes we discovered went back into the Vista SP1. Mm-hmm. I go back a little bit to how we work together. I think when we have a common goal, one of the goals I think we've had with Visual Studio, ASP.NET, and web was to do a much better job in the hosting market. And I think we aligned on that. And then I enabled teams to really get clear. So things like refactoring IIS to be lots more modular components aligned with the philosophy we had in the server to let people deploy only the pieces they needed. So we have a very good experience for web hosting, I think, from right up from the tools with Silverlight and Expression right down to enabling, you know, hosters to get to much larger scale. So I think maybe value we add is we say, hey, this is a business that's common to both of us. We want to push in that area.
Excellent. Because it is really interesting to me and lots of people out there as well as to what vice presidents do. and, you know, I guess one of it is you guys are challenged with both understanding what's going on in your own, like, domains, technically, and also, very importantly, out in the real world. Right, with our competitors and other things, the business, you know, landscape and stuff like that. So how much of your time is spent dealing with thinking and or worrying about competition and how to continue to succeed versus the innovation that's happening in your org and how to ensure that the innovation that's happening in your org is right or, you know, is going in the right direction?
I don't know. I think about it as a balance. At the end of the day, it's all about, like, you know, delivering the right or the most value proposition for our customers, right? Mm-hmm. to the extent that we need to understand what our customers want, to the extent we need to understand what the competitive landscape looks like, to the extent we understand what the innovation that's happening inside the inside our respective product teams, and how we channelize that to ensure that we meet the requirements for our customers. So it's a balance, right? I don't know that I can tell you, like, you know, hey, 32% of my time is focused on this versus 28% on this kind of thing, right? Uh-huh. But it's a balance that, you know, but one that all of us need to sort of, you know, keep in mind. And, you know, depending on different phases of, you know, the product cycle or where we are in terms of a particular product versus, you know, what the rest of the competition looks like, we may be focused a little bit more on one versus the other. Mm-hmm. That's how I think about it. So.
I'm going to be a little bit redundant, but I spend more time thinking about the customers and our partners than the competition, because I think if you satisfy your customers, make them happy, and understand their needs, the kind of competition problem takes care of itself. So I don't think I sit lots of time, you know, reacting to this and that with the competition. So that's a case, I think, where we have a little bit of commonality with our TAP programs, making sure we've got early adopters for all of our products. And I think we all have very similar programs there, because getting that customer feedback is just huge to knowing you're building the right product. Or internally in our own IT and MSIT, we all have goals to roll out our products, get them used, get that feedback from, you know, often beta 2 onwards, and get them into production early.
How about over your side of the world?
Well, you know, just in terms of where my time goes, and I know where their time goes, I think one of the ways you keep, you know, you gotta have some personal engagement with the community and with customers and with partners. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of my, you know, own personal, you know, way of engaging and kind of being able to judge also for myself whether we're headed in the right direction. And that might be customer relationships or partner relationships that I sponsor, you know, stuff that comes up in the course of work with existing customers, our TAP customers, customer events we do, visits to the field, but some way, you know, where have your own independent line in addition. And I think that's an important part of every product group vice president's job, is some, you know, predictable piece of time that goes into engaging that way.
Absolutely. And ultimately, you guys are the ones that are responsible, right? The accountable for the success of a product, right? You get the accolades when it's successful, and then you get yelled at probably from Bill and company when they're not. But, you know, do you guys also play the role of, say, technical fellows are arguing about things and somebody has to resolve something? Or do you play the role of, you know, do you put the wig on and they come in and you make a judgment?
Very rarely we want to get to a stage where somebody has to make a judgment, right? You know, when you have, you know, multiple teams focused on, you know, a different set of things for a different set of customers, different priorities, right? There's always, you know, what I call constructive, you know, debates that happen, both in terms of the priorities and sometimes in terms of the, you know, the best approach to solving a particular problem kind of thing. And, you know, whenever you have a set of, you know, super smart people, you know, some strong opinions will be there and you'll have to sort of work your way through that. And sometimes it gets a little bit more interesting than otherwise. Yeah. And, you know, we all have to, like, you know, get involved at the right points in time to help, you know, the teams navigate through that.
Absolutely. So the final question I'll ask you is about the, when we as a company have a coherent sort of singular strategy. I guess the most canonical example there would be software for services. You guys are making innovations in each of your areas to support that Uber strategy of the company, right? So
yes.
there's you guys are involved in ensuring
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Especially in SQL, I know you have the data services that we'll be talking about at some point.
Yep.
We've already talked about things like Astoria on Channel 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then building the tools in your world, and then serving the tools in your world. So I just wanted to say that out there.
That is right. True. Now, whenever you have an initiative that sort of, you know, cuts across multiple parts of the company, like, you know, software plus services, then mm-hmm. each of us has a role to play in terms of contributing both to that story and making sure that we, you know, think about our own technologies and products and think about how we'll play in the software plus services world.
Outstanding. Well, hey, thank you for your time and congratulations on really incredible engineering achievements.
Thank you, and you should congratulate our customers also, because it's going to be a great day for them as well.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.